Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It's time for another live Q&A. It's Wednesday evening. I have just come off of a podcast with Sam Tripoli talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Yes, he wanted to give me the breakdown. He wanted the Eddie Bravo treatment. I guess he wanted the same thing. So I went on there and did another presentation, more of the same, a bit more comedic, a bit more lighthearted, a bit more fun than usual because it is more of a comedy podcast. But it was a good talk, and I think they really enjoyed it. He was telling me him and Eddie are talking about the little season all the time now, and he's got to get me on and just give the breakdown and everything. And yeah, he sounds like he's on board, which is fantastic news from what I gathered. And it was another brilliant opportunity to spread the gospel of Christ as well, which I hope you guys enjoy it when it comes out. I did the best I could. I'm a little bit out of practice doing those type of interviews lately. I'm going to be doing a lot less of them as time goes on, as my channel kind of focuses towards, finish off the Nephilim Look Like Clowns work first of all, because I've got to get the second book done. I'm doing the audiobook. I've got videos to make about that topic, and as I kind of branch out into other topics as well, which we're going to talk about today. What the hell? What was it? Was it Monday or something? I can't remember what day it was, but my wife's there. It's like, have you seen the Katy Perry thing? And I thought she was going to tell me something like some mu silly music stage performance or something like that. I was like, why, what's she done now? She says, oh, she's in space. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? She's in space. And yeah, then it all just came flooding through onto my feed, as I'm sure it did for all you guys as well. And yeah. The first thing I noticed was the shape of the damn thing, the rocket. And I was like, even my wife was like, why is it shaped like that? Like, what? Why? All the shapes they could have chosen. Like, why make it into a giant shaft? I don't understand. Like, what was the point in that? And that this whole thing, I could not help but think, like, is this a joke? Is this like just one giant, terrible joke? Like the amount of things they weaved into this, which are just obvious winks and nods that this is like PSYOP 101 type stuff. And it's kind of like they didn't really put much effort into it either. I couldn't get my head around just how terrible of an obvious psychological operation this was. Like, not even a good one. Do you remember when PSYOPs used to be really, really good? And I mean, like, you could tell they put some effort into it a little bit, Like, let's make PSYOPs great again, guys, because I'm not impressed with this anymore. And there's been a lot of great work done about this since it happened. And we're going to go through a few things I found myself and just, researching other people's work to kind of bring it all together, the things people have discovered and found along the way. And we're just going to discuss it for a little bit before going on to some other topics and opening up to a live Q&A as well to get your guys' two cents on this. But yeah, guys, my first impressions is, wow, this was badly done. Like, this was not clever. And I notice as well, there's a few different factions around this event. You've got the schizo conspiracy theorists, which are saying this is obviously all completely fake, didn't really happen. It's all just made up CGI AI nonsense to perpetuate the lie of the heliocentric model, the round Earth globe model, and to put down the enclosed system model and to spit in the face of God and the rest of it. I'm more inclined to be on their side. Then you've got the controlled opposition truther types who are all saying, well, they're focusing in on the vanity of Katy Perry herself. So getting to these outside ones first, I think I watched Paul Joseph Watson's video on this, and wherever he stands on the spectrum of truther, which is vague, from his old InfoWars days to now, but I like he's funny, his attitude, his accent's the same as mine. I think we're from the same place. So, well, kind of, he's probably like, I don't know, half hour drive from where I'm from or something like that, maybe. But he's clearly from Manchester anyway. Listen to his accent. And I'm not from Manchester, I'm from out of the way, but it's good to hear one of my own voice in the game sometimes. So I like listening to him, and his take on it was pretty basic. It was not capitulating to the extreme schizo conspiracy theorists like myself, you know, like us in this corner of the internet screaming about how fake everything is. But he leaned more into that Katy Perry was just a vacuous, narcissistic, ungrateful weirdo just staring into the camera and taking selfies all the time rather than looking out the window at the glory of the earth in front of her, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for everybody else who cannot afford such an amazing gift and ability to witness such things. While that was going on, she wasn't even looking out the window. She was just staring at herself in a mirror or in a camera. And they really honed in on that point. That was his thing. That's what he really wanted everybody to get angry about. Look at them wasting their opportunity to look out the window and see a glorious sight that no one else on earth has the privilege to see. That type of stuff, you know. And a lot of people got angry about that, you know, and that's what they rallied behind and said, oh, you know, but it's kind of like, yeah, all right. Celebrities are narcissists. So what? We all knew that already. That's nothing new. You know? But even then, it's kind of no major ground is broken with that kind of interpretation of events, is it? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you know, celebrities are narcissists. Earth is still round, though, and they definitely went to space. You know what I mean? Nothing gets broken there. Like, no truth is really being revealed. Just more hatred generated for the haves and have-nots of the world, that type of division type stuff. So whatever. It's a vacuous take. It's a clickbaity take. It's a comedic value in the mainstream media, but railing against it rather than for it type of take. It's controlled opposition. That's the only way to describe it. Whether he knows it or not, it's useful idiot stuff, you know what I mean? Whatever. So that's one thing I've kind of been seeing about. Then everyone's like getting upset and railing against like their attitude when they came back as well, like kissing the floor, this whole I felt the mother goddess within me type talk we had Katy Perry giving. I think if I just quickly get the videos up here, let me just pause that for a second. And someone did share quite a good video from They Live Truth, a YouTube channel, and I'll just share the screen so you can see what I'm sharing here quickly. Yeah, so the channel here is They Live Truth here in the bottom corner. And they did a really good breakdown of this, but throughout the video, as I'm going to kind of skip through it here, just obviously copyright reasons, I can't play the video. But if I skip through, there's the footage here of them getting off. And I think, yeah, Katy Perry basically kisses the floor, I think. I think she's kissing the floor too. And then she has this interview where she just says the most ridiculous, smug nonsense about how it made her feel her divine feminine connection to the earth. Everything just completely new age nonsense. You know what I mean? While holding a daisy. I think it's because her daughter's called Daisy, it's supposed to represent or something. But I bet there's some kind of occult symbolism behind the daisy that I'm just not privy to right now or don't really know nothing about. But yeah, this guy's obviously made it. Brought it back to the Lord, which is always great, you know. And I guess in the end, she's not giving the glory to God. She's trying to make it out that she has some kind of divine feminine within herself or something like that. And this has activated that feeling of joy. And then there's a whole debacle of, you know, this guy saying this thing comes down, smashes into the ground, like quite violently, you know, and no ambulances rush up or anything or check on them. Because obviously they're saying it's empty. This is what conspiracy theories are saying. This thing's actually empty. There's no one in this. No one went up anywhere. If this is even real, you know, maybe they sent a rocket up and this came down, maybe. But if they did, it was empty. It's what they're kind of saying. And the story, from what I've gathered, the truth angle on this, the conspiracy theories angle, is they can't really make the mind up of whether or not it was a holographic hoax and all pre-filmed and nonsense and none of it was real. It was all fake. Or a rocket did go up, but they weren't on it. I'm not sure which one people are leaning on the most. But the funny thing is, it's not shown here, but before Jeff Bezos, of all people, opened the door, they actually peeked it open themselves before he turned up. Okay? Meaning, like, they were never locked in there, and they didn't need any help getting it open, you know? But they put this show on afterwards, and it's kind of clearly a show. It's all orchestrated. You know, the whole thing's orchestrated. It's all theatre, you know. It's all to make people think these people care in some way, or I don't know. I don't know what, I don't know, well, it clearly helps their profile, the celebrities. They're all in, they're patsies, they're paid for, you know, they're all in it for the money and the publicity. Now they get to be called astronauts, you know. But it's like, why did they have to get sent up in a rocket shaped like a massive shaft? You know what I mean? Why, of all the things, like, why? And I can't help again immediately think, so Jeff Bezos funded this, did he? This is a Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, funded rocket trip to space. And it's like, did no one think of the optics behind this? Not once did somebody think, maybe Jeff Bezos, the bald guy who looks like Dr. Evil and has had that joke made about him plenty of times, maybe he shouldn't be funding a rocket trip that's shaped like a giant wang. Maybe that is not the best idea for optics. Clearly people are going to make some connections here which aren't a good look for us. They're like, nobody wants just think like for 1 second, yeah, maybe this ain't the best look. Maybe people are going to make a connection here that we don't really want them making. Do you know what I mean? Maybe we shouldn't do this. No, clearly it was not even a second thought. Not even close to a second thought at any point. Nobody wants stopped to think, yeah, people are going to call him Dr. Evil. He's literally funding a rocket shit like a penis. And Dr. Evil also had a rocket with two massive balls attached to it as a gag in Austin Powers. No one for 1 second imagined that it would even be an issue. Ah, no one's going to notice. No one's going to notice that. It's like, come on, people. Come on. Seriously. You know what I mean? Like, is this just one really, really, really bad joke? Like, is this just one terrible... Like, they're laughing at us here, aren't they? You know what I mean? Like, they are laughing all the way to the bank. Like, these guys are... They're looking at us and literally they're saying, you're an idiot. And you're going to eat this up whether you believe it or not. And you're going to laugh at the rocket. And we're not going to mention once in any of the live broadcasts that that rocket is clearly shaped like a giant wang. And we're not even going to mention it. And we're going to gaslight you into thinking you're crazy for even noticing such a thing. And it's kind of... Come on. You know, and it's just... I think this is a subsidiary of SpaceX, isn't it? This Blue Origin. Whose logo is a dove feather, of all things, the thing that was used by Noah to check whether or not the floods had receded or not yet, you know, which came back with an olive branch, funnily enough. So there's some symbolism there. Blue origin, the oceans, you know, waters above, perhaps it's a reference to in some way, I don't know. But it's all part of SpaceX, which again is, I think Madeline showed this in one of her videos, like in pictures, it's a space sex. It's all just sexual innuendo. Everything is a sexual innuendo with these people. Everything is a spit in our face. And, you know, the symbolism didn't really end there. This just keeps getting weirder and more obvious and more wild, which is just baffling. But if I go back to some pictures here, let me just quickly search here just to get it in. Delete that. And you guys aren't going to see it till I find the picture, but it's a Blue Origin badge. And this is the badge they were wearing. And I think you guys can see that. Okay. And as you can see, it looks pretty innocuous. Yeah, it kind of looks like a rocket with three legs, even though the rocket that was sent up looked absolutely nothing like that whatsoever. Now, let's just look at this first of all. Okay, so the shape of it, funnily enough, is kind of like an onion dome of a mosque with the star at the top, which is quite odd. So I'm wondering if there's maybe a Venus reference there at the top, the crescent moon and the star. I don't know there, but you have three women on one side and on the other, three and three. So that's 33 encoded straight away, which is a Freemasonic symbol. Three faces on each side of this rocket, which is a pyramid with a star on top with the all-seeing eye. So that's one angle. But when you turn it upside down, this is when the obvious weird stuff starts coming through. And I'm just going to literally turn it upside down. Now, Blue Origin's badge. Let's just type in the obvious. It's literally Baphomet. Like, what would you look at that? Who'd have thunk it? You know what I mean? It's literally the goat-headed god. Baphomet himself, the representation of as above, so below within Lucifer or Satanism. It's literally the evil Baal or Canaanite god. It's not good. Okay, it's the androgynous god. It's their god. It's pretty simple what they're doing here. You know, they're not even hiding it, are they? Not even a little bit. Not even trying. Like, they are not even trying. I remember when there was more nuance. I remember when there was a lot more nuance to these psyops, and you really had to look hard to find the symbolism. You know what I mean? And you had to dig through layers and layers of coding and numerology and all sorts of things just to find out what it is they were really all about. But now it's just out in the open. You know, talk about externalization of the hierarchy. And oh, thanks, Pete. Thanks for the super chat there. Thank you, Paul. God has used your videos to reinvigorate my faith in Jesus Christ. I was feeling the weight of the world's lies before I learned about the Satan's Little Caesar theory. All the puzzles make sense now. And thank you. I'm glad my work has helped you in some way. And at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. So I'm happy your faith has been strengthened. Amen to that, brother. Thanks for the donation. They sold the soul all, says Nightson. They have. They've sold their souls for rock and roll, for fame and fortune, and to get to be put into the spotlight all the time. They follow the script put before them and they reap the benefits. Absolutely. That's all this ever has been, all it ever will be. But yeah, look at the state of this. It's all just smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors at the end of the day. None of this has anything to do with female empowerment or whatever the hell they're trying to sell it as. Like, as obviously in this video, They Live Truth was trying to make sense. This is mainly just to reinvigorate the Ball Earth lie. Because the only thing we did see while they were up there, supposedly up there, what they saw out of the window was, if I can get the image up here before I show it to you guys, this. So let me quickly change the angle here. So this is what they saw out the window. Okay. This is what we're supposed to see. So there's the moon. Everyone look at the moon, you know. Wow, look at the moon over there. And it's obviously a curved earth and fisheye lens. But do you know what this looks like to me when they look out the window? It looks like augmented reality. Just the way it moved. Okay, let me just quickly mute that. Just the way it moves. There's something weird about it. So there they are, you know, just nonsense while Kay's staring into a camera the whole time, looking out the window. And the way that moves there, that looks like computer graphics of augmented reality that's just reacting to the camera, right? It's not, I've seen this before. Like, there's something uncanny about the way it looks. And it just is. It's definitely augmented reality. That is a picture, not something moving. Okay, there's no way that is not a photograph. I bet the clouds don't move an inch throughout all of that. And then, of course, she's holding up the monarch symbol, the monarch butterfly at one point, which again is MKUltra mind control, monarch alters mind control. Katy Perry is quite famously been under the scrutiny of conspiracy theorists for a very long time as somebody who's under the influence or subjugation of monarch mind control. And she's there flashing up the butterfly with her new Tor list on there, of course. So there's the plausible deniability, which you always need. You always need the plausible deniability. She's just showing off her Tor dates, guys. But yeah, the butterfly is a symbolism for mind control. Did you know that? You probably didn't, right? And anyway, this whole shaft worship thing is nothing new. This has been going on since Osiris at the end of the day. This is all pagan Osiris, Isis, Horus worship, the phallus symbol. And of course, if you look here in the top corner, T-minus 33 seconds before liftoff, as they're making their way to the giant penis. Light this candle is right there, you know, in the middle. And they ring the last bell. The last person walks past and rings the bell. Bang on 33 seconds. Look, I'm not usually one to fixate too much on the numbers stuff. I'm not. You know, I'm not that guy. That's just not who I am. You know, I tend not to like the way that kind of stuff makes you look when you start doing it all the time. It's something I tend to not focus on my own channel, but I'm very aware that these people love playing with their numbers and numerology. It's very real. And in this scenario, when it's a big scale event like this, then they are probably encoding it with numbers. Okay. Now, if it's like small people, you know, who aren't of any consequence with small followings, that's where I tend to think you get a bit too far, where you're trying to read into everything. But when it's a big scale event like this one, when 33 is encoded into the final bell before they get on the giant bell end, you know, it's kind of like, I think it's, there's something to it, you know. And obviously with the three on each side of the logo of the upside down Baphomet, and it's kind of, this is heavily encoded with their numerology. It's a, the nods and the winks to who was behind this whole thing are just running throughout this entire thing. And it's, if it's to do anything, it's to reinvigorate and keep in the consciousness of the masses, or the normies, as John Cohen likes to call them, a regular guest on here. It's kind of to keep them locked into the lie that it's the heliocentric model, right? That's the truth, and evolution's the truth, and you can go to space one day. We'll all get to go to space one day. You know, Elon's our savior, getting us to Mars type of stuff. Just to go against the whole enclosed system narrative, which is the truth, you know, but this is basically what it's for. It's just another reminder, and at the same time, some celebrities get to profit off it in the process. Jeff Bezos, he gets to seem like a really cool, down-to-earth guy. And they get to throw in some ritualistic homages to their gods and Satan in the process. It's a package deal, shall we say. And yeah, it's full of it. This is absolutely full of it. I wish it was like less obvious in a way, but I feel like the lies are kind of falling apart all around them now, and stuff like this really is just laughable. And then I looked at some of the articles that came out after this, and naturally the Daily Mail Online did release a lambasting article that comes against the conspiracy theorists. So I thought we'd read it for fun. We can always do with a laugh, can't we? And here it is, you know. So this is the article which was released by the Daily Mail, and for some reason the title's missing, but conspiracy theorists seize on Blue Origin door gaffe and claim it's definitive proof that Katy Perry's mission was fake. A bizarre gaffe has ignited online conspiracy theories about Katy Perry's flight into space with Blue Origin. After the New Shepard capsule landed, Blue Origin founder Jeff Bezos proudly wrenched open the hatch with a specialized tool to greet the all-female crew. However, footage from just minutes earlier clearly shows the capsule door being opened from the inside before being hastily shut. Internet-dwelling conspiracy theorists have seized on this strange moment, hailing it as definitive proof the mission was faked. While there is little doubt that the Blue Origin rocket reached space, it shows just how tightly choreographed the staged event was supposed to be. On X, formerly Twitter, one skeptical commenter wrote, "I'd say this is the nail in the coffin, fake." As the claim that the mission was an elaborate hoax goes viral, experts say the Blue Origin launch was a perfect storm for conspiracy theories. Dr. Daniel Jolly, an expert on the psychology of conspiracies, Dr. Daniel Jolly, there's a special place in hell for people like you. From the University of Nottingham, told Mail Online, "Space is vast, complex, and largely inaccessible to most people. In this context, it becomes easier for some individuals to question the official narrative." You smarmy bastard, Daniel. Who do you think you are? Like, you want to deny the truth that the people of this world are controlling us? Like, what are they paying you to say nonsense like that? What does it pay to be an expert on the psychology of conspiracies? I'm curious. Anyway, moving on. "Here's definitive proof of the Blue Origin mission was faked." And it's basically just examples of people screeching that it's all fake because the door opened slightly. And it's kind of like, that's not what we're saying. Whether it was real or fake is irrelevant. Whether they actually went up to the 64 miles in the air, it's not even that high. They didn't even go that high. They wouldn't even get anywhere close to a firmament if there was one at that kind of height. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, so they scraped the edge of where things get a bit weird in terms of like body density and weight. Okay, maybe. And that's probably possible. And then they came back down. But the point wasn't for that. It was to perpetuate the idea that we can get to space, that it is possible, to forward the lie about the shape of the realm that we exist in. That's all this was really for. So even these people at Daily Mail, they hone in on the wrong thing. They misdirect. This is how they get you. This is how they make us seem stupid, by leaving bait for us to comment on, like the door opening, so they can point to that and say we're absolutely retarded for thinking these things. That's basically what they do every time. And we need to stop taking the bait, okay? Yes, it's possible. Even if the rocket did go up, these people did not actually go in that little, the little end of it, the bell of it, okay? They didn't go into it. It was probably all filmed prior in a studio or something with wires or something. I don't know what they were doing to give the illusion that they were up there in post, you know, because nothing, when it was live, you weren't allowed to see what was in there. And they say it's because, you know, well, what if something happened, you know, and you would witness all these people die live on television? It would be horrific, you know. So we have to make sure the mission goes well first before we show all the footage. Plausible. That's a plausible excuse. Fair enough. You know, how are we supposed to argue with that? You know, I don't really think we can argue with that, can we? You know, but then they release it and post. Yep, see, they were definitely there. No, all the audio lines up perfectly. Everything's fine. You know, no, they really did look out the window and see the moon. And it's like, okay. But still, that looks like augmented reality in the background there to me. That looks like a projection outside of the vehicle. Or a computer projection that's trying to process the window spaces that's been programmed into the camera angle. And that's where the image appears. You know what I mean? It looks like iPhone level augmented reality to me. That's just my theory. I don't think they were in the rocket, but they probably did send something into space. Space, you know. That's, but who know? Who cares? That wasn't the point. Point was simply just to create a public ritual to reinforce previously established lies, to give more and more excuses to attack those who question the mainstream narrative, saying, "Well, what are you on about? Even Katy Perry's gone to space, you idiot." It's that type of stuff. You know what I mean? It just keeps the normies locked in to the normal narrative. It's basic stuff. It's really basic stuff. And I'm kind of like, I watched the whole conspiracy community light up with this one and go through all the symbolism, which was all there. And again, I feel it's a little bit like, who's going to drop this top secret document right here? And I hope nobody finds it, you know, and it gets leaked to the internet everywhere. It's like, oh, whoops, I accidentally encoded 33 into when I rang the bell. It's kind of, oh no, we included Baphomet on our logo. It's that kind of stuff. They want us to find these things. It's to keep us constantly in that loop of the signs of the times, for one. It's to completely psych out the futurist Christian community all the time. It's there to keep the conspiracy theorists making content and locked into the system as well. It's many-fold useful, and it's a part of the externalization of the hierarchy system that makes us apathetic to their existence and control. It's kind of like, yeah, we know they exist, we know they worship Lucifer, we know that they're in control, but what am I supposed to do about it? I've got to get to work. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's tacit consent. It's just, it makes us passive, it makes us nihilistic, it makes us apathetic. This kind of stuff is like more of it. It's like, oh, here we go. You know, Satan's at it again. What are you going to do? Hey, what can I do? You know, whatever. It's more of that kind of stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't believe the balls on them to make an Austin Powers joke throughout this entire thing. You know, you must know what I'm talking about when I say that, right? The Austin, like I showed it earlier, but it's kind of like, it looks quite literally like Dr. Evil releasing a giant rocket that looks like a penis with Jeff Bezos. It quite literally looks like that. I mean, it's... Come on. Come on, guys. What the hell? It's a bad joke, isn't it? It's a very bad joke. And that is right, you know, a lot of this is supposed to perpetuate the idea that female empowerment, women's rights. You know, this is a historic moment for women. And I think even Paul Joseph Watson said the Russians did it in the 60s and sent a whole woman's team to space. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is not the first time something like this has happened. There's nothing historic about any of this moment whatsoever. This is not a new psyop. You know what I mean? This is a rehash of a very old psychological operation. And of course, this comes on the back of the ISS rescue team. Those two people have been in the space station supposedly for so long, have finally come back, you know, that man and the woman. And it's kind of, we're getting a lot of this now, a lot of the space stuff happening, you know, a lot of the space propaganda kicking in. And I don't know, I think this is probably gearing up to that fake alien invasion thing, isn't it? They're probably ramping it up for the holographic Project Bluebeam thing's all going to kick off at some point. I have no idea, but they really, 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 really want us thinking about space right now. Like, they want the masses excited about intergalactic travel. That's on the mind, isn't it? It's in the collective zeitgeist consciousness of humanity right now. It's the main driving point behind everything happening. You know, the next to the surging consciousness of AI, which mankind is creating and melding its own homunculus from. It's kind of, we can see this now. Luke M says, I absolutely can't stand the shape of that rocket. Well said. I understand. Fallopian tubes too on the patch. That's true. I see what you're saying there. Yeah, well, a bull's head often represents something similar, and a ram's head with the horns, I do understand, has been often symbolic of a female reproductive system. Yeah, so that's true. The Matrix is getting desperate, says Vapor Missile. We're fine. Love wins. Positive waves, everyone. Yeah, that's right. Let me just take these headphones out because they are killing my ears right now. I don't think I need them. If it suddenly starts blaring noise that I can't hear, let me know in the chat and I'll make sure to find the source and pause it somewhere. But another thing as well is watching the rocket go. And how long did it take? What did it take? It took like 3 minutes to get to where they needed to go. And they were back down in 11 minutes or something like that. And what, they made it like 66.2 miles or something. They got to just to the crest of where space begins or something like that. And I'm watching, me and my wife are watching the rocket go up, and it shows you how fast it's going, like miles per hour. And this thing was reaching speeds of like 2,000 miles per hour or something like that. And it's kind of like, how long does it take to get 63 miles up when you're going 2,000 miles per hour? It shouldn't take 3 minutes. It should take seconds, right? Surely, if the rocket is going that kind of speed, it'll be there in like 5 seconds or something. Somebody do the math for me, because I'm not going to figure it out. But I felt like it took them too long to get to where they were supposed to be going, based on the math we were given. So that's just my own little 2 cents thrown in there that I noticed. That was odd. Very odd. And what, we've got Oprah over there crying as well. And someone mentioned in the comments at the start of this that she slipped up saying she's just glad the hard part's already over, like implying it was already filmed on land and she knows they're not actually in there or something like that while they're already in the air. Yeah, interesting. Paul 100% says Gina Groom. And I kept telling people who were all hyped over the late Tyson fight, it's all a big gig, acting gig. I just waited until the theatrical silliness was found a lie to normies. Eyes were open to them. Yeah. There's all a lot of hype over nothing. It's all just theater. It's all Masonic theater at the end of the day. That's the phrase I like using. I really enjoy that one. And there is a channel on X called Politics is Masonic Theater, which I got it from. So that's mine. That's not mine. I stole that one. But he's a cool guy and he knows. He's all good. He's all good. My wife is saying, I do not feel empowered. Yeah. Not even trying. You're right, Paul. Not even trying hard, are they? Come on, guys. I remember, you know, back in the day, we never picked up on any of the 9/11 predictive programming. We missed it all, didn't we? We were blind. It went way under the radar. They did a good job. It was right in our faces and we never even saw it. But this, nah. Nice try. But not even a nice try. Terrible try. I award you no points. Okay. Try harder. make it a challenge, please, to decode these things, because it's just not, it's just, there's no fun in it anymore, is there? Talk about in plain sight. Have you seen the pre-launch timings of the bell ringing? Now, that's them not hiding it, but almost boasting. Yeah, exactly. The 33 when they rang the bell. Absolutely. This is so fake. It feels like they're just doing it to bait us, to get us to respond in droves so they can just go, actually, that's right. Yeah, it is. That's what I'm saying. It's bait. It's like, this is all bait. And we need to be better. We need to stop taking the obvious bait. We need to, like, you know, get it together in a way and just say, nah, not today, Satan. nice try, but no thank you. Go get me something better than that, please. That's just us, isn't it? That's just us. That's what we've got to be doing in this time. I feel like a lot of this stuff is a lot getting baitier and baitier as time goes on, and I think we're kind of seeing getting past it these days. I like to think, especially with the Little Caesar revelation, a wider proportion of the conspiracy community are now realizing, oh, it really is all just show. Even the conspiracy stuff is a show for us. It's to keep us locked into looking for signs, you know, rather than doing something about it or focusing on bettering our own lives or getting a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just, let's throw them some more satanic bait for them to decode and waste more time on type of stuff. It does feel like that a little bit, doesn't it? A little bit. No amount of damage control can do at this point. That's right, DeMarco. We were under a J hex. That's correct, Sleepy Joe. Possibly they are hypnotized to believe they went. Some of them, at least, says Dumpster Fire. Well, that's getting really out there and in depth. But a lot of these actresses, you know, and these singers, they have alters, you know, they have split personalities. They've been traumatized and put through MK Ultra Monarch Mind Control programming. So yeah, it's possible they've been programmed to believe that they actually was real, you know, and they could not distinguish the difference between reality and fake themselves. So they can live through life believing a lie themselves. It can happen, and there's evidences to prove that that science is real. Like, that's what they do to people. Like, and that's how they get them to commit atrocities and murders and genocides and sleeper soldiers and the rest of it, by making them completely believe a false reality through split personalities and alters, and even making their other alter forget that that alter exists, so they have no recollection of the actions they've even committed, so they can live a guilt-free life, I suppose, and also never be suspect because they don't know they did anything wrong. There's loads of positives and benefits to splitting people's personalities through trauma, through mind control, and using them as assets. Like, that's what they do. Like, it's really dark stuff. Like, really dark stuff. This is old school conspiracy. This is well known. This is basic stuff. But maybe we forgot the basics. Maybe it's a good reminder there, just the kind of control these actresses and actors are under. You know, they're victims too. Like, pray for them. Seriously, pray for them. It's easy to laugh from our perspective, but these people are in it. They're in it deep. Like, they need help. They need to come out of Babylon. They need help. I'm wondering if they actually believe they're in space. Like, they get sent to a simulation and they're straight up being paid to lie. Yeah, well, this is what I mean. We don't know, do we? We don't really know. Where was the Muppets? Spacesuits with cleavage. that's another thing as well. It's in the thumbnail for this video, but there's an article out there that says Katy Perry and crew are officially putting ass in astronauts. What the hell? Like, that's what they're focusing on as a win here. Like, they went to space and they look good while doing it. You know, you go, girls. You put ass back into astronaut. That's right. It's, what? Oh, yeah, that's definitely empowering women. That's definitely making men take women more seriously, isn't it, in this day and age? Oh, that's going to help them in a big way. That's not going to objectify them anymore. And anyway, that's not going to diminish the work done by real female astronauts, even though, you know, I'm not really going along with that, but you get what I'm saying. In terms of the broader narrative, it's still bad optics even by that standard. It's kind of, what are they doing? Like, all of it's just a giant mess. I don't know. I can't beat a dead horse with this one, can I? I can't keep going on about it. Well, I've been going on for 42 minutes about this now. Maybe that's enough of the Shaft Rocket and the mind control, monarch controlled weirdos who were in its bell end. Maybe it's time we just move on and maybe talk about something else. Let's go to the live chat. Let's see what people have to say about this. KFC has a new commercial showing us a human being baptized in gravy and then turned into chicken. Okay, well, you've got me. Hook, line, and sinker there, the chosen one. I'm going to go get that for us to skip through image by image, not play. I'm going to skip through the advert. KFC gravy baptism. That's what I'm going to type in to see if I can get the advert. Advert which man is baptized. Okay, I guess this'll do. I am just gonna quickly share the screen so you guys can see this. So this is what we've got, and this is the Daily Mail again. Oh, they're everywhere, the Daily Mail, aren't they? Man baptized in lake of gravy in bizarre KFC advert 2 weeks ago. This is my first time skipping through this, guys, so bear with me. But as we go through, it seems like we have a man looking bewildered, the eye of a chicken, and then he looks back, he looks up, people are, what's this, what's happening here? A gilet is being added to someone wearing brown, she comes forth and stares at him weird. They're alone in the forest, and then they're not alone. Oh no, everyone else comes out of nowhere. Okay. They surround him like a cult. This is a cult. They raise him on a pedestal above them. The man and woman see eye to eye, and then they disperse and they drop. So he's now one with the cult. He's wearing brown, just like them. Is she walking? What's going on? Okay, the stomps. They're bringing a golden egg. Okay, a giant golden egg, and they bring it down, and what happens next? Are they dancing or something? Are they doing some weird dances? They're waddling like a chicken or something, and then they stomp it down. They pick it up again. The man and woman walk through. He sees a lake of gravy. Okay, they pick him up. They're collecting the gravy in bowls. They put him in the gravy. And through the baptismal gravy, he comes out a fried piece of chicken. It says, believe in chicken. Is that what it says? Yeah. And they're all doing some kind of chicken dance. Okay, there we go. I think that's what I can get away with, legally speaking. In terms of footage, and I think that's fair use commentary, right? We'll see how I get away with that, or whether I get away with that or not. I have no idea. But that is, well, that's just stupid, isn't it? It's not good at all. I'm sure there's been many an occult breakdown of what's going on there. But I remember seeing those adverts a lot when I went to the cinema not that long ago. And there was an advert where everybody's kind of, there's this beat going on, and everyone's like bobbing their head like a chicken, and they all kind of end up conglomerating round the pedestal, and they're all dancing around it, nodding their heads and stomping, and then a chicken rises up in the middle and it's just stomping its leg. Then it says, believe in chicken. So that was the old advert, and it looks like it's progressed into what I just saw there. Okay, so what can be said for that other than it's just complete blasphemy towards God, isn't it? It's just making this, today's reality is more obsessed with the gluttonous pleasures and will bow down and worship a fast food chain and its crunchy chicken and the secret recipe over having any real relationship or tangible relationship with the divine through God and through his son Jesus Christ. people would rather make an idol of in irreverence and through nihilistic comedy, let's just make a god out of KFC chicken, you know? So I'm seeing that first of all. It's certainly a sign of the time we're living in. And I don't mean that in the traditional sense. You know what I mean? What's going on here? Sorry, thanks for the $10 super chat there, Wojo. I went to go on a tour of NASA once, but there was a sign on the door, out to launch. P.S. No, I'm not quitting my day job. That's funny. And I've got another $5 donation from Jonathan here. Thanks for that. Kentucky Fried Christian doesn't sound like a tasty denomination. Hashtag sacrilicious. I like that. I like that a lot. Bought a copy of the book for my neighbor and I. Keep up the good works. Yeah, thanks for bringing some comic relief to this otherwise dark topic there. I appreciate that. I saw this advert weeks ago. Your take of it was the funniest thing I've seen all day. I don't think I have a take. I just watched it and I was like, okay, so. First of all, they're all dressed like Kanye West. Remember when Kanye West had like a fashion line? Can I get that up? Kanye West fashion. Do you remember this? they're all dressed like this guy. This guy's fashion line. So let me share the screen. Do you remember when he did this? This is what it reminds me of. That's what they were all dressed like, in beige, in like slave beige or something like this. That's what all the chicken slaves, the chicken cultists were all dressed like to me personally. That's what I saw. So maybe it's like a continuation of something in particular. Maybe it's kind of like that's kind of what they were going for. Something like this. Let's see if I can get a KFC chicken advert. Images. There's the Believe in Chicken one I was telling you about, where they're all kind of circling around a chicken. Right in front of a Greek-Roman, Greco-Roman style building, by the way. I thought that was interesting, just seeing that. I need to type gravy baptism, don't I? Gravy baptism. What am I doing? Gravy baptism. what a joke. So yeah, all these people. There's no good look at them. There you go. So I don't know if you guys can see this. So all these people here do look pretty damn similar to Kanye West's ridiculous fashion line here, don't they? Like, they do look pretty damn similar. I'll just switch back and forth quickly now. Yeah. Yeah, so there's probably something going on here. I guess they want to make us into androgynous beige cultists who all have one hive mind, all aligned to and in lockstep with the current thing agenda of no God, worship of commercialism and gluttony over all things, just living in a state of absolute sin and being a cult about it, that type of stuff. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was just talking with Dr. Longo, if you didn't catch that last live stream, about the Nephilim clown connection, and he went off on fast food chains and was basically making it very clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that Colonel Sanders was a Freemason, like fully in on it. And he blew up immediately after the emancipation and the slave trade having to end in America as an alternative to create new slaves, which are wage slaves, basically selling chicken, which is considered slave food or something like that. And it was a really interesting, this breakdown he gave. So it's not surprisingly we're witnessing this reemergence of like slave dressed people in monotony worshipping chicken. Like, I don't know. Look at it. Look at it. People dressed like slaves worshipping chicken while Kanye West was also pumping out this exact same thing here. Like, There's no coincidences, is it? This is just ridiculous. This is what they want us all to actually be like in a really over-the-top type of way, I suppose. But we don't have to be. We don't have to be, though. You know, we can make our own choice and have some style, and put some colour in our lives, be a little bit rebellious with our fashion choice, you know, to some extent. We don't have to conform. But I don't know. I think symbolically speaking, it's about the hive mind mentality, isn't it? Everyone becoming one behind a trivial thing, something that isn't greater than themselves, truly, but acting like it is, you know, and that's kind of the world we live in. People make idols out of all sorts of nonsense today, you know, whether it be celebrities or even objects or whatever that is, or even themselves. The things people make idols out of today are trivial in comparison to the only thing that you should be considering above all idols, and that is God Almighty, the creator of all things, the thing that is above even the concept of being an idol, you know. No graven image at the end of the day. Chicken are children in the world. Well, I've heard that too. I have heard that before, along with pizza. Yeah, that's where things get really dark, isn't it? Beck from Oz, thanks for reminding us of that aspect, which we're probably not allowed to talk about here. You know, this is YouTube. But I am not at all diminishing the dark reality of just how deep that can start to go when you really scratch beneath the surface. It's a warren. It's not just a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit warren, you know, and that's a tongue twister. Yeah, so go and look into that on BitChute or something if you haven't already. go to another platform. But yes, absolutely. I think we can safely see that the people that are running the mental asylums are the government institutions, all by design to destroy the family, to destroy females and males. Stop watching TV, you'll become one. Yeah, well, I don't watch TV. You know, I control what I consume to the best of my knowledge, and I make sure I'm learning something or at least questioning something when I do choose to entertain myself with something from whatever source. These days, I'm too busy creating content than consuming content, though, I'll tell you that much. It's that color so the gravy doesn't stain, says James Stark. Okay. Well, that's plausible too, isn't it? Sorry guys, I'm trying to catch up with the chat. It got away from me big time here. It happens a lot, you know. I'm only human. I'm not perfect. It's literally all of them. Hollywood, presidents, kings and queens, mainstream musicians, superstar athletes, FTM, MTF, all of them. Ah, we're talking about that topic, are we? Again, not going to broach that here. It's silly. It's band bait. Not taking it today, okay. Recommend people stop eating it, but yeah, so would I. Santa sat on the frequencies with his consorts, his elves crafting machines to delight children. Jesus evicts that old devil from the mountain. Interesting. I've got drunk wedding photographer in the house. Thanks for being here. Speaking of chickens, I'm 2 years in raising chickens. Very rewarding. Well, good for you. That's brilliant. Yeah. I know chickens are very useful for a lot of things, especially when it comes to land and moving things around and keeping bugs out of patches. And they're actually very useful animals in many ways. Like, one chicken can be invaluable to a farm. What's going on here? Right, guys, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a song for you guys that I'm just going to pull up randomly now from somewhere. I don't know where. I'll probably play Judas Sargent's work just because he's allowed me to do that without any issues. And I like his songs. I don't get to listen to them very often, to be honest. So this is my chance to listen to them. I'm going to slap on Endurance. He goes by Yahweh and the Vagabond. And here we go, guys. He swore to an oath until his death come by the hands of men. We shall stop. The Lord of Heaven's army shall prosper.
scars are ready to beg. Privileged to trust you, I'll worship as dead. Though in anguish my pleas are that I can, under all these stones still combine my hands to fall. Tread the broad path the flesh declines, guided by the renewal of mind. Something's brewing in the unseen sky, rulers of this realm forfeit at the mention of the true Christ. Bound are my wrists behind bars to chains for you, temptation's play. Hand, but I cannot renounce what's true. As the earth shifts and the cracks expand, but we were already free.
And we're back. It's a good 5 minutes long, that song, so it gives me long enough just to take a quick breather, drink some water, and line up a few things before the next segment. We'll call it a segment. I don't know. I'm winging this. I don't know how long I'm going to go on for, to be honest. But yeah, there is a shift in topic I kind of want to go ahead with now. For those curious, by the way, that is Judas Sargent on Spotify. I will leave a link in the description below if you're interested in finding his music. But I do like his voice. I really do. But there we go. So, moving on, I want to talk about the music industry. And this is coming from the inspiration of Katy Perry. You know, it's in the thumbnail, as you can see right here. She has been seen clownified quite a lot. And it's no secret, you know, no secret at all that, you know, I'm kind of the Nephilim clown guy. You know? One big part of my research, if you don't already know, is that the music industry utilizes the knowledge that dressing like a clown is in fact a way of channeling the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. It's a useful tool for that purpose, and it's used for that purpose all over the earth by ancestor spirit worship cultures, but they don't call it a clown costume. They don't see it that way. They see it as a representation of the spirits, okay? We just don't know that in the West. So when we put on the costume that they wear, we call it a clown costume from our perspective. But it's not. It's mirroring something in the spirit realm, which creates a channel, which allows it into your vessel. And the music industry know this, and many artists play this game to gain the power from the demon for fame and fortune by letting the demon into their body, by dressing like one, and then letting the demon use their body to experience pleasures, whatever that is. And you know how sordid it can get in the satanic world, just what these people will do for the demon within them. And then as a transactional return, they get something. Fame, power, fortune, talent, whatever. You know, it's a transaction, it's a deal. It's how the contract is really made, you know. And you'll find the many artists, especially the ones that were glorified as gods, you know, especially in death. Think of David Bowie and Iggy Stardust, for example. Well, those look the most clownish. They have the palest red skin and redhead aesthetic with psychedelic colored thing going on. And that's generally a rule of thumb you'll find in the music industry. And again, Katy Perry, no different. No different. She actually had a song called Smile, and I'll get some images up. And she's pranced around as a clown, you know, plenty of times. When she was pregnant, she made the music video for this one, which I thought was odd. But yeah, let me just share the screen with you so you can get some ideas if you remember. The song is just generic pop nonsense, catchy, repetitive chorus about smiling and being happy and being proud of yourself while she plays the role of a sad clown in a computer game or something like this. Pretty boilerplate stuff. You know, the song is nothing spectacular at all, but the music video is about living as a clown vicariously through a video game, but obviously bringing joy and happiness into people's lives. But there's a lot of odd things in there as it goes on. She posed for the album wearing this fractal design, black and white patterned piece, and as though she's in some kind of fractaled matrix with the clown nose. And the running theory is the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim are trapped in the fractaled matrix of reality in the spirit realm on Earth currently. And this is from other things that she's involved with. She has clowned around quite often, shall we say. It's pretty much one of her aesthetics. It's what she's known for. Dodgy, weird, creepy. And I thought it'd be worth mentioning just for posterity that, yeah, you know, she's played around with the whole clown thing herself. Here is a giant clown with a small person, and obviously a representation, a tongue-in-cheek reference to the Nephilim being giants and what they looked like. That's all there. It's all kind of subtly there. But then in the music industry as well, another artist kind of cropped up recently, which I kind of brushed on briefly, but she suddenly just came out of nowhere. Suddenly is all over the radio on repeat all the time, singing about being a lesbian, basically. That's all she has, yeah, apparently, called Chappell Roan. And she has leaned heavily into the aesthetic of pale skin, red hair, lipstick, clownifying the eyes, really leaning into the clown thing. You know what I mean? And it's a bit on the nose, but this is so common, really common. Here she is with the checkerboard floor behind her, so you know who her allegiances are actually with and who let her be where she is. And this is the thing. She probably did this for fun, but she was chosen and put on the spotlight to be an idol for others to copy by Freemasons because she looks like this, because she leans into this aesthetic. It's actually the secret, the real secret to being famous in the music industry. Don't have talent. Oh, that talent's for hacks. Just dress like a psychedelic clown monster, and you will be chosen. That is the rule. That's the game you've got to play in the music industry, people. Come on, didn't you know? Like, you want to be rich and famous? Do this to yourself. You'll get chosen. You'll get elevated. You'll get put in the spotlight. You'll be given the roles. You'll be given the fame. You'll be given the fortune. It's very simple. And yeah, here's another one. Come seemingly out of nowhere as well. They're always out of nowhere. And there's a video I actually want to watch. This is not fully vetted. I think I saw on Instagram. But look at this thing. What a mess. What a psychedelic, monstrous mess. Do you know what her excuse is for this? She said she was a bunch of lads kept bullying her in high school. Or something, saying, why do gay people always end up looking like clowns? Why do they do that to themselves? They always end up looking like clowns. You know, why do that? Why have that aesthetic? Why do that to themselves? I don't understand, you know. And she, offended, was like, well, if they want me to be a clown, I'll be a clown. And that's what she did. It's like, I'll show them. It's like, okay, what a crap story. Yeah, not very convincing. I'm not convinced. But yeah, she's channeling. She's actually practicing a very occult practice here. This is nothing new. In fact, let me whip out the old slideshows, shall we? Let's just turn that one off. And yeah, let's just go through here. Masks for channeling. Okay, these are some examples of masks and all other things. Let me just skip through some of these photographs and see if we get some cultures that do the same. Here it is. Here's someone channeling in India, the Thayam, to channel demons and commune with them. Let me see here as well. Sorry, guys, this is on random, by the way, so I don't know what's going to come up. So lots of more makeup stuff going on. Here's the Wanjinas. Here they are, trying to ward away evil spirits. Same again, psychedelic coloured face. These are... Maybe this isn't the ideal slideshow. Let me try this one instead. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're all one now, the clown images. There's nothing I can do about this. We've just got to skip through. There's plenty of cultures all over the earth that dress like clowns to channel their ancestor spirits. It's extremely common. And the masks of Greece do have quite a clownish look to them, quite similarly. So the rule, as a rule of thumb, they tend to white up the face and put on a red headdress or wear masks. Here's the demon king, the demon queen Rangda, one of the ultimate Nephilim. Look at that bulging eyed craziness there, what the Rakshasas are based on. Some Vodun religion there. I can't select the... I should have got the file up, shouldn't I? What was I thinking? I've overcomplicated this. I always do that. Bloodlines, dragon dynasties, frilled lizards, AI images that were sent to me. Ancestor spirit masks of Africa to channel their ancestor spirits. Some film references, some spooky clown sightings. The Bat Ebola. We've got India. More makeup shows. Here's the Rakshasa masks of Sri Lanka. Bells. Some artwork that's been manipulated. The Anu people of Japan. There's Rangda, the demon queen again, from an Indian mythos. There's a Rakshasa demon. There's an Oni demon of Japan. You're starting to see a pattern emerge here as you get through these. I actually have 788 images here compiled, guys, by the way, so please bear with me as I get through these. More of India, China, India again, Portugal, India again, movies, the Bulgaria cookery. India. This is in Basel, Switzerland. The Shriners. More AI image, Red Nose Day. Yeah, there's a lot of images here. I need to go through them again. The Heyoka. This is the Sani Yuka demon. You can't see it, but it's holding two people in its hands there, about to eat them. Just in case you were wondering. More AI nonsense. Look at these things. Look at these traditions. Anyway, what I'm saying is go watch my videos on that if you haven't already. But yeah, dressing like a clown is actually really common in many, many, many cultures. He is a Gorgon of Greek mythology. Some Chinese stuff there. More styles, more African ancestor spirit worship. Yeah, what she's doing is actually nothing new whatsoever. She's channeling just like these spirit, these ancestor cultures do all over the earth. She is channeling the spirits of the ancestors, of the demons, by dressing like a clown, okay? She's not clever. It's not clever. It's not new. It's nothing surprising. And she's playing into the same thing. And I did have a music folder somewhere, but I can't find it. It's been a while since I've done a clown presentation. I need to consolidate all my clown images again and get it all sorted for you guys as I bring forth new stuff. But let's just look at, David Bowie. And again, a legend in the industry, you know, and he was always rocking around looking something like this. Very common, you know, very common. He's doing the same thing. He's channeling, he's representing a specific entity trapped in a specific place. You know, the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. He called it Iggy Stardust. But him and Chaperone are cut from the same cloth. They're doing the same stuff, but it's actually really common, especially in the music industry. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And then there's this video I want to watch about where do artists just come from out of nowhere. This guy's going to try and explain about industry plants, and I haven't vetted this, but we're going to watch it together anyway, and let's see what he has to say, because I thought it'd be interesting.
That indie artist that you just discovered, yeah, their label planned that months ago. Every year, a new artist blows up seemingly out of nowhere. And every year, fans ask the same question, was that an industry plant? And the truth is, labels have gotten smarter. The old industry plant strategy was obvious. Sign an artist, dump millions into marketing, and then force them on every playlist and radio station. And fans could see right through it. The new industry plant strategy is different. Labels are engineering success stories while making it look organic. Instead of pushing artists overnight, they build slow, controlled traction. They flood TikTok with fan accounts and create fake grassroots engagement and run content strategies designed to make it look like organic discovery. Think about it. How many times have you seen an artist blow up with the perfect story, the perfect aesthetic, and the perfect rollout? And this isn't just conspiracy talk. Labels are now testing indie marketing strategies at scale. But here's the part they don't want you to know. You can use the same strategies to your advantage. And here's how. First, control the narrative before anyone else does. Labels will fabricate an artist's backstory for emotional connection, so be the one that's telling your story before someone else tries to make it up for you. Second, flood the market with your own content. The reason a label-backed artist will blow up is because of visibility. You need to create consistent content that makes fans feel like they're discovering you naturally. Third, build real fan engagement, because the label might simulate grassroots moments, but real connection wins every time. If your fans feel personally invested, you don't need a fake push because you already got an army of super fans. That indie.
Yeah, whatever. So that little sales pitch then, forget about that. I'm not trying to sell anything to anybody about how to be making it in the industry like he is, but he has a good point. And this is a feeling I always have all the time, and it pisses me off to no end. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of like, where the hell did this person just come from? Where did Chaperone just come from? Like, why is she the pinnacle best of music of our age and time, and she gets to be on the radio played over and over again incessantly, and we're all supposed to just clap along like seals and agree she's so brave and stunning and wonderful and her music is fantastic, it deserves to be here played on repeat on the radio for the next 6 months? It's like, why? Who decides arbitrarily who these the finest musicians of our age are? And they're all crap. They're all absolutely just awful. What's the word? Fabricated. That's a good way to describe it. Fabricated musicians, fabricated music, formulaic, like in a box designed, you know, they just seemingly come out of nowhere like it's organic. It's like, it's not organic. They've been planted there. The industry plants, as this guy was describing, like they are quite literally designed to be sent to the public. So when someone like Chaperone turns up with her clown-like aesthetic during a time where clown core fashion sense is at its peak, all through TikTok. There's a lot of younger generations dressing like clowns now, legitimately as a fashion choice. In 2023, Elle Fashion released Clown Fashion Week and introduced it as a legitimate fashion choice. Elle Clown Fashion. I'm going to show you this just to prove that I'm not talking absolute bollocks. Let's go on this. 2023, Elle Clown Fashion Week. And I'm going to have to zoom out for this one. Here it is. You know, legitimate fashion. This is no joke. Like, going down the runways. And then a couple of years later, someone called Chaperone just turns up, who happens to have the exact same clown core aesthetic as this nonsense here. And look, David Bowie inspired, naturally, you know. Even Harry Styles is dressing this way now. Yeah, they're pushing this dress style onto the public now to get more people dressing this way. That's the point, okay? They're getting all the idols to dress this way. They're getting all the most famous people, the popular people. They're making it fashionable to wear the image of a clown on your body, or to be a clown, or to dress like a clown. It's actually perfectly legit. It's fine. You should. If you're not doing this, you're falling behind. What, have you got no fashion sense or something? What do you mean you're going to wear this red wig? You know what I mean? It's kind of, they're making it so you must dress like a clown to fit in. But secretly, quite sinisterly, all that's doing is opening up more channels and portals for people to be more readily possessed by the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim by wearing their image. Spiritual warfare is dark, isn't it? It's complicated when you actually get into it. It's not as simple as that. Like I said, yeah, Red Nose Day, another fantastic example. Yearly, they get people to take part into a ritual where they get the mass public to dress like a clown by wearing a red nose. And, you know, it's for the kids. Right, guys? Who can say no to the children? It's for kids. It's for charity. It's to help the kids. What do you mean you're not going to get a red nose and clownify yourself? What, you hate charity or something? That's how they get you, isn't it? It's always a guilt trip. But really, when you understand what this represents and what are you actually doing when you do this to yourself, things get sinister very quickly, don't they? It's dark. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to burst everyone's bubble here, but this is just the reality. Look, these red noses were even literally monsters. Like, they were monsters that year. They had some not so subtle moments every now and then. Be careful. Be careful. What you wear matters. Like, everything in this world is designed against us to make us weaker, to make us susceptible to deception, including what they try and make us wear. So there you go. One tangent from Katy Perry to Chaperone to the music industry plants and to the organization of it all, the control mechanism. It's all there. And this is what I'm writing about in volume 2 of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, the entertainment industry side of things. And that includes, obviously, the 2016 clown sightings, the fashion industry, the music industry, the film industry of clowns as well, the video game industry, the online culture industries as well. We're going to get into clown serial killers in the second book. We're going to get into all the juicy modern day popular stuff that everyone wants to talk about. You know, the first book's about the history, biblical history, all that kind of thing. The second book's about the now and how it's translated into the modern day. And the dangers of spiritual warfare and how these tactics are used against us is what the second book will be about. I am writing that. I'm about a third of the way through, but I'm currently taking a break to do an audiobook of book one. So hopefully when I get the second book finished, I can have it straight away. I can get into working on the audiobook for that as well. And then we can have a complete body of work for people to enjoy and spread and all that kind of thing. This is why I'm going to be talking about this a lot more, because I'm actively doing the work for it now, right now, and I think it should be good to kind of share that with you guys as we go along. But there we go, guys. I've got about 10 minutes. I'm going for an hour and a half today, so if you guys want to ask any questions, throw them out now. You've got me for 10 minutes. I'm going to check the chat, see what's going on, and I'm just going to also check the super chats to make sure I didn't miss anyone's questions. No, they're all there. Good stuff. Right. Excellent. So let me just check the live chat. Do you only need one part of the costume to be affected then? Says Mr. Giuseppe. Well, it's up to conjecture. I don't know. I just know you probably shouldn't be playing with fire. That's kind of how I put it. Why risk it, you know? But no, it tends to be more of a holistic look. If you white the face up and white the skin up with like white paint, I don't mean like pinky peachy Caucasian like me. I mean literally like paper white. You do that to yourself, you know. That can be enough. I see a lot of examples of that happening, especially in the art world. It's really weird. People who like let themselves go, you know, and start acting weird and screeching and screaming. All they seem to do is just put white paint all over the body. It's really odd. I've got some real examples of that as well, which I'll share with you guys soon. But that seems to be enough. But when you add the red hair and the multicolored patterns and even a red nose and the red mouth, that can really, yeah, that's powerful. That's dangerous. You're in a seriously dangerous position then. You're mirroring something in the spirit realm that's very, very much looks like that. And that creates a channel. It's very, got to be careful. You know, you got to be very careful. Grok's logo is Saturn. I got it confused with something else Elon did. He had his Tesla cars line up to look like a lightning bolt. Interesting. Yeah, that, oh, good old Elon. He's always up to something. Paul, when is the Tripoli episode dropping? I have no idea. I cannot tell you for the life of me when that is going to drop. It's arbitrary. Whenever the guy gets it done, you know. What I will do, I will put up my own screen capture recording onto Patreon tonight, or as soon as possible, if not tonight, tomorrow, so my patrons can enjoy that until it's released to the public in a couple of weeks' time on my channel, probably. He just asks that I don't release it publicly until at least his has been up for 2 weeks. That's just kind of the conditions, and that's fine. But I'll put it behind a paywall on my Patreon, just for my patrons only, as a little bit of something extra until then. So if you're a Patreon member, $5 gives you access to everything. It'll be there for you to listen to if you want to listen to it, but it will be made public eventually. It's just until then. That's the only place I'm allowed to put it, you know what I mean? So that'll be there. That'll be there soon. Paul, do you think Chinese geisha face painting has Nephilim origins? Yes, actually. Yes and no. So geishas are actually jesters, if you didn't know that. A geisha's job, it's not a prostitute. They're entertainers. They're like clowns. They're basically clowns, okay? And their job is to entertain wealthy guests. That's what they do. They're not prostitutes. But their form of entertainment is the art of Zen conversation, the art of wit, of back and forth, of witty rapport, of holding very solid, fun, in-depth conversations with people and making people think and that type of stuff. It's a very unique style of entertainment. But yes, in terms of aesthetic, they nail it, you know. And also, it's odd, they black up the mouth. Did you know this? It has like black stuff to the teeth, which really add to a dark aesthetic. It's very, very, very strange. Geisha's black teeth. Let me have a look. Yeah, I'll show you an image here. Screen. There we go. Yeah, apparently it's a Japanese tradition, apparently. I'm not sure why they do it. Really, I'm going to have to look into it, but I think it was considered attractive in many ways. I'm not so sure what the reason is, to be honest, but it's something they definitely do. The Japanese tradition of blacking the teeth. But in terms of the spirit behind it, like I said, their ability to entertain so easily may be as a result of the spirit they're channeling, is what I'm trying to say here. But they definitely have a Nephilim-esque look to them. That's for sure. It's they're playing with fire. I'm not sure they even fully understand why they do what they do. You know? A lot of the time when you ask these cultures why they do what they do, like here's the foot binding thing, which is pretty disturbing as well, to make their feet tiny. You ask them why, and it's just tradition. They don't really know half the time why they do what they do. It's just, we've just always done it this way. That's quite often the reasonings they have. That's the best they've got half the time. A lot of these traditions are lost to time in many ways. And I think they were trying to originally represent something that was considered divine, godlike, worthy of veneration, set apart from humanity, different. And that would have been the Nephilim when they were around and venerated as god kings and men of renown and heroes. And that's where these traditions and this style comes from. It's been passed down orally and through written traditions, and it's kind of been lost to time in many ways. But I think that's where it comes from. My daughter-in-law is Japanese. It's demonic. Western people don't understand, says KK Westbury. Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. They have a rich historical demonic realm, the Japanese. Japan has some of the weirdest damn demons with the strangest habits I have ever read about. Like, there's one which is a mattress demon. And yeah, it kills people by making them sleep to death and all sorts of things. It's really odd. Like, and it takes the form of a mattress. And it's highly sexualized as well. It's very odd, and it's like a particular demon that takes the form of inanimate objects. It's really weird. It's like they have a demon for everything and a demon form of everything. The Japanese are weird. They're not okay. Like, they're not okay, guys. The Japanese are not okay. Like, they need help. Like, psychologically, something's happened to them that's really messed with their brains. I can't explain it. When it comes to demonology, they have the craziest demons. And so do the Eskimos as well. The ones in the coldest regions of Siberia and Greenland and northern Quebec, and you know, all of the Inuit people, they are not okay either. Some of the artwork they make to represent their demons is the freakiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Let me just show you Inuit demon masks. Okay, like they've seen some stuff. You know, like, you can tell they've really seen some things. And yeah, they're not doing well. Like, they have some serious fear going on. In many ways, from the demons that they've seen and witnessed that they try and represent through the masks and the stuff. It's creepy. It gets really dark and disturbing, stuff like this as well. That's not what it would. Let me see if I can get. There's a voodoo doll type thing which they have as well. Here's another example. These are the masks they wear to channel their spirits, by the way. It is really, really, really odd. Like, these guys are not all right. They're seeing some things. And their representations are absolutely terrifying. A shaman spirit mask of the Yupik clan. You know what I mean? And again, it's the Nephilim clown-esque thing, because that's what these spirits look like. That's the aesthetics they have. That's what they're seeing in the spirit realms. That's what these shamans are witnessing with the crazy sun blinders, so they don't get snow blindness from the sun reflecting off the snow all the time. Like, they got some creepy visions of demons going on. And so does Japan. So does Japan. Like I said, Japan has some crazy demon mythos. Lots of really, really disturbing, terrifying stuff. And what do you expect from the land of anime? Hey, like, you know, the type of stuff they come up with. But yeah, I'm going to switch back here. Check the chat. Japanese have some insane ability to imagine things. Watch Evangelion. I've seen Evangelion. Yeah, Neon Genesis. I've seen it all. I've seen quite a lot of anime in my old days before I was born again, you know, and there's a lot of stuff in there. They know a lot. They know a lot about Christianity, but they've really occulted Christianity in many ways and made it very unnecessarily alchemically, hermetically sealed, if you understand what I mean. I think it's because they've kind of blended their own mysticisms with Western mysticism and created this odd hybrid Christianity, which appears quite a lot in animes, which isn't really Christian. But it has like a Christian aesthetic, but it's all just Gnostic alchemical principles. It's really odd, really odd. Does he read the chat, or am I on the wrong platform? Says no, I read the chat. I do. It's just I get a lot of messages and I miss them a lot. So I'm sorry. I'm trying my best. Paul, what do you think about the beings Crowley channeled Lamine was? Do you think they could have been Nephilim spirits? Yeah. And I also think, it's a working theory of mine, but I think the people who corrupted themselves before the flood, and a term I've coined is Nephilimified themselves, I think they may have done such a corruption to their body and soul that they lost their ability to leave the earth, and therefore have become trapped on earth along with the Nephilim, who never should have existed. So I think there are human hybrids in the spirit realm too, which are also akin to a demon or a lesser demon. And Lamine Ewas could have been those two. But I do know specifically the jesters and the clown-like entities are the Nephilim. We can know that. That's what I've kind of figured out. So yeah, maybe. Who knows, really? Hi, James. Good to see you, James Carter, the Shelf of Wonder Man, the guy who gave me the idea for that last video. Good to see you, James. There is a lot of evangelism happening in Japan, though. But yeah, the spirit of heaviness and the spirit of the samurai is rampant there. Yeah, so yeah, I understand what you're saying there, but I'm not going to speak on behalf of the Japanese culture. I am not them. But everybody can be saved by Christ. We're all the body of Christ if we so choose to become a member. So just accept the free gift of salvation and you're in, no matter what race, religion, creed, or background, or culture you come from. And that's a beautiful thing. They mocked Christianity so hard in that movie, Paul. Lamb looks like what we know as a grey or green alien from Hollywood, just like the alien from the movie, Paul. Yeah, I remember that. It was just a huge mockery, wasn't it? The whole healing, the wound and everything, and yeah. Like, he literally made a Jesus reference while healing him as well. Like, yeah, what else? So messed up. I think you missed that one super chat from Bushido. I have a super chat from Bushido. Let me just check. Can you summarize your theory of Nephilim or clowns? How did you figure this out? Thank you. Says Bushidoki. Okay, sorry. Well, I did want to finish the stream 5 minutes ago, so let me very quickly summarize as quickly as I possibly can my theory, while also showing you on the screen where you can find more information about the theory, so I don't have to just explain everything to you now in one show. So let me just quickly find that before I bring it up. We've got 417 people here right now. That's wonderful. Let me just quickly bring up my channel so I can talk you through where to find the work on the clowns. Right, channel. Go to my channel and I will show you now. Screen. Okay, so if you go to my channel, I do have, if you just scroll down, the playlist right here, the Nephilim Looked Like Clowns, and there is a summary 15-minute video at the beginning, and then there's the entire series here you can go and watch. That's like geishas are mentioned in this video, the feathered serpents, but if you actually go, let me just check the playlist. It goes on for, how many episodes did I make in the end? 44 episodes. And yeah, it goes deep. There's a lot to cover, okay? A lot to cover. Hours of research there to sink your teeth into. And there's also the odd interview here. There's a Nephilim clown presentation. It goes on for an hour here as well. Some extra stuff. And there's my adverts. There's some interviews. And then if you want to get even more information on where you can find out about the Nephilim Clown stuff, if you go to my channel again and you go down to playlists, I have interviews and collaborations. And if you go down here, there are a long list, 133, in fact, of me being interviewed by people and interviewing people and talking about all sorts of things, including the Nephilim Clowns. So you'll find in there lots of things through the Nephilim Look Like Clowns, where I'm going on people's podcasts discussing and breaking down the theory, mainly starting from 99 onwards. You'll find there's a lot here. And I do many like 2-hour podcasts where I explain the whole thing thoroughly. Some of them have images, some of them don't, some of them more so. So go check that out as well if you want to know more specifically about the Nephilim Look Like Clowns research. But that's the best I've got for you there to go find that information. And that's a terrifying looking video. I feel like I'm going to have to watch now. Why sentient portraits are terrifying. And it looks like a Nephilim clown, doesn't it? There we go. I'll look into that next and see if there's anything of value within that video. But if I was to summarize it for you now, Bushidoki, because obviously you donated $5, it goes that the Nephilim have pale white skin and red hair, traditionally speaking. It's understood that that's how they looked. And there's many biblical ways we can get to that conclusion, which I explain in my book as well. But there's also outside sources that aren't biblical that contest the idea that pale-skinned, red-haired giants roam the land in many capacities all throughout many nations. What my work does is explore through anthropological studies all these cultures out there that have ancestor spirit worship at their core of the cultures and how they do this. And there's many ways they do it, but a common motif is that they dress in white skin, red hair, multicolored clothing with a big wide smile or a mask of something similar in order to channel what they call their ancestors. What I discovered is that my work has, through the conspiracy world, has kind of uncovered this idea that, well, the Freemasons quite literally copied these costumes that were all over the earth and made their own version called a clown. And they introduced it into society in the 1800s and popularized this image through famous actors of the day in order to create a costume that can channel demons that the public wouldn't recognize. So it's an occult symbol. It's been hidden from the public, but it has two meanings. Exoterically, the public see it as just fun for the kids, but esoterically, the initiated understand it's a useful tool for channeling demons. And what they're doing now is they're forcing that on wider society, getting more and more people to dress in those type of aesthetics and popularize it in a way that makes people want to dress that way to create more channels readily in our Western world for demons. The reason they have to remain hidden is because we are a heavily Christianized part of the earth. And in India, the demons have no problem inhabiting the body of a shaman who's dressing like them and speaking through the shaman and performing miracles, because they know no one there is going to call on the name of Christ to cast it out at any moment. It's too risky in the West because we're all pretty clued up that if we deal with demons, call on Jesus. So they have to stay hidden. And that's my working running theory, summarized extremely quickly, but it has many, many, many facets, a rich history to explore that got to this truth and the obvious paper trail that led to the evidence that this was done on purpose by people. And the costume of a clown has always been and always will be a representation of demons. And demons are nothing more but the disembodied spirits of Nephilim creatures, which are the hybrid creation of fiery flying serpents mixing with human women. Dragons mixed with human. There you go. That's the whole thing summarized as quickly as possible. But there's a lot to explore to flesh the idea out. I hope that helps. And if you're interested, go buy the book, The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. It's just there behind me there on the wall. That's just the picture, but you can get the book hardback or paperback. You can get it at Amazon. And I'll find it for you guys and show you where you can get it from. It has good reviews, positive, people like it. Like I said, I'm working on an audiobook, but I couldn't say when that's going to be out exactly. I'll share the screen with you guys here. Here's the book, 134 reviews, 4.8 stars, all summarized. Get it on Amazon, easily done. You can get it in Kindle, hardcover or paperback, soon to be audiobook as well. And volume 2 is in the works. There you go, guys. That's it. That's it summarized. So if you're interested, go get yourself a copy. If you want to become a member of the Patreon, please feel free to do that as well. The Sam Tripoli interview talking about the Millennial Kingdom will be up on there soon for you to enjoy before that becomes public as well. But I am done for the day, guys. I hope you enjoyed this diatribe, this rant. I just had to talk about the shaft rocket. I just couldn't leave it. It was just too much to handle. I just couldn't deal with it. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.